Okay, good evening, everybody. We are in Maseches Brachos on Daf Chav Zayin, Amud Aleph. We are, count 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom. So yesterday we ended off with the discussion about what the halacha is with regard to davening mincha. We pass on like Rabbi Yehuda that tells us that mincha can only be davened until plaga mincha, at which time one would have to stop davening mincha, or would be the last time one could daven mincha, and at that point in time to be able to daven ma'ariv, or does it go out of erev until the evening, and which is traditionally understood to mean up until shkia, until sunset. So the Gemara ultimately told us that we don't have any traditional Masorah about this. We don't have a psak halacha which is clear about how we paskin, and therefore the halacha is uda avid kemar avid. One can choose to paskin either like Rabbi Yehuda or like the opinion of the Chachamim. However, as we mentioned yesterday, the choosing should be consistent. The person cannot choose to do both. The term Chazal used for this generally is tofes achevel mishnei tzadim. You can't pull the rope from both sides. In other words, you can't say that you're going to rely on the Chachamim for Mincha and Rabbi Yehuda for Ma'ariv. And we discussed that extensively yesterday. Today's Gemara, I think, may actually shed some light on the discussion we had yesterday, but let's get there. Now, the Gemara says as follows. Rav ikla lebei geniva. Rav went to the house of geniva, either geniva or geneva, but that was his name. Vitzali shal Shabbos be'erev Shabbos. He davened the Shabbos tefillah on erev Shabbos. What does that mean? That meant that he brought in Shabbos early. He davened ma'ariv when it was still light outside on Friday afternoon. In addition to that, Vavi Matzli Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba lachore. Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba was standing behind him when he was davening. Sorry, lachore derav. He was davening behind Rav. V'sayim Rav v'lo paske litzluse d'Rav Yirmiyah. Rav finished davening, and he would not stop the tefillah of Rabbi Yirmiyah, which means he didn't want to interrupt the tefillah. So the Gemara tells us from this story, we can learn three things. Shmamina klas. We learn three things from here. Shmamina, from the story we learn, mispalel adam shel Shabbos be'erev Shabbos, it's permissible for a person to bring in Shabbos early and to daven the Friday night davening on Friday afternoon. Shmamina, we learn from this, mispalel talmud achari rabbo, a talmud could daven behind his rebbe. Shmamina, aser. We also learn from this that when someone's davening, you can't pass by in the area that they're davening. Why? Because we saw that that's what happened. We saw that Rav brought in, he davened Ma'ariv early on Friday. We also saw that he was davening behind him, and we saw that he would not want to interrupt the Shmoneh Esrei. And the Gemara says, "Misayeh le Rabbi Shua ben Levi." This ultimately proves the opinion of Rabbi Shua ben Levi. The Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Rabbi Shua ben Levi made the following statement: "Aser lavar keneged hamaspalin. A person cannot pass by within close proximity to someone who's davening." The Gemara says, "Hold on, Eini, that's not true." But Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, Chalfi, Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi would frequently pass by people who were davening. The Gemara says, "Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, chutz la'arba amos." When would they pass by with someone who's davening? That was outside of a 4 amah radius. So they gave each person davening 4 amos of space before they would pass him. The Gemara continues, Rabbi Yirmiyah, hechi avad hachi. How could it be that Rabbi Yirmiyah did this? Again, this is talking about Rabbi Yirmiyah, who is davening behind Rav. So let's just take a little bit, stop for a second. What's this idea of not passing by someone who is davening? So the halacha is brought in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Beis, and the Chabad writes as follows: Asar lavar keneged hamispalim. It's forbidden for a person to pass by opposite somebody who's davening besoch arba amos, within 4 amos. V'davka lefneim, that's only in front of them. Amal aval betzideim. Mutter lavor velamod. You could pass by in the side, or it seems to be behind them as well. So you could stand there, or you could pass by in the side. So what is the halacha? Why is this? Why can't you pass by someone who's davening? So the Mishnah Berurah writes, "Mipnei shemivatol kavanaso ayidei zeh." If you're going to pass in front of him, He's going to get distracted. Here there's a guy trying to daven, and you're busy passing by, making traffic in front of the guy. It's going to be hard for him to concentrate. So therefore, give him his space. And he writes afterwards, if that's the logic, then it's not only Shmona Esrei where this is relevant. It should be relevant even when a person's saying Kriyashma. Kriyashma is the time a person's paying attention. This is being Mekabal Al Malchus Shemayim. He's accepting the responsibility of being a Yid, so don't disturb him. Now he writes at the end, V'chai Adon Kasav Atam, V'pnei Shemafsik Bein Mespal L'Shechina. Because the person's davening, is the middle of Shmona Esrei, guess what? Shechina, because Baruch Hu moves in. So here you go, the Shechina's right there, and you're passing by, right in front of the Shechina, and therefore that would be inappropriate. You can't do it. Now this presents a very big problem in any shul that doesn't have four amos in front of every single person. How are you supposed to daven? What if a person needs to go to the bathroom? What if a person has to walk to the back? What if the gabbai has to go somewhere? Is everybody kind of locked into one place the entire davening and they can't move? So this is a highly discussed topic. And there is, I don't want to read through the whole thing now because it's quite long, but in the back of the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Kuf Beis, there is a pirush called Eshel Avram. The typical Eshel Avram that people are familiar with is the Magen Avram, the Prima Gadim. It's in the Prima Gadim. And that Eshel Avram is not the one we're talking about. We're talking about the Eshel Avram who is the Buchacha Rav. Okay, the Buchacha Rav has another pirush called Eshel Avram. It's very long, but ultimately he writes that the whole idea over here is about disturbing a person. He goes on to say it can't be that it has to do with the Shekhinah standing there. Because if that were to be the case, what if there was a wall in front of a person? A big wall. Now, could you not go in the room in front of them? And the Shekhinah is not going to be disturbed by a wall. The Shekhinah does not take up any time or space. So the Shekhinah is not going to be interrupted by a wall. So if that's the case, the person's davening in front of a wall, you wouldn't be able to walk in front of them either. But that's not the halacha. The halacha is you can. So he basically, his discussion is, he keeps talking about a shtender. What's a shtender? A shtender is, you know, that little podium you put the sitter on, the shtender. Now, the same thing would seemingly be true with a table. The idea is that certain circumstances cause the person to be disturbed, but once there's something in front of the person, most of the poskim would be makel that a person could pass by, certainly if he has to pass by for a particular reason. And certainly, he also goes into discussion where the person's eyes are closed. Many people keep their eyes closed when they're davening. It's better for concentration. You don't see what's going on around you. So that would also be a heter. Again, a person should try not to, certainly don't disturb someone who's davening Shmon Esrei. That's obvious. In terms of passing by, try not to make a scene when you're passing by. Don't knock over all the tissue boxes. Don't knock over the pushka and spill all the change on the floor. There's plenty of ways to get out without disturbing the whole shul. But if you can pass by without disturbing the whole shul, that you can rely on the bachacha rav, that if there's something in front of the person, that it's not, that's not a problem. What? So that's where that comes from. Not to step back in front of the person. The same thing would be true. But again, the reason why you don't step back is because when you step back, you're ultimately taking over that person's, you're going into that person's area. Now again, a lot of this has to, it really depends on what it looks like. If you're in a shul where there's a table behind you, so if it's going to disturb the person, wait till he finishes. If the person's taking a very long time, so then, again, you don't have to stand there the whole time. But then in those cases, if there's something between you and the person, you could rely on that and just take a few steps back.
It's only for Shmona
Esrei? Only for Shmona Esrei, yeah.
Right,
right, yeah. Correct. The Gemara goes on. So how was it that Rav Yirmiya was davening Shmona Esrei behind Rav? The last line of the Gemara. Rav Yirmiya hechi avad hachi. How is he able to do this? V'amar Rav Yehuda amar Rav. Lo'olam al yispal adam lo kineged Ravo. Top of Chazayim of Beis. Person should not daven opposite their Rebbe. Lo'achori Ravo. Not behind their Rebbe. V'tanya, Rabbi Lezer Omer. Hamispal lo'achori Ravo. Rabbi Lezer says, a person who davens behind their Rebbe. V'anosein shalom l'rabo. Person who gives greetings to his Rebbe. Now Rashi, what this means is, let's just go back. Kneged Rabo, Rashi explains, Eitzel Rabo Umarak Iluhem Shavim. This is the idea of a person when a person davens in the same place as their Rebbe, So essentially, they're just not honoring the Rebbe's place, because there's got to be something elevated about the Rebbe. And that doesn't mean the Rebbe has to insist on it, but the Talmidim should recognize that there's something special about the Rebbe. And the same thing about giving shalom. L'achorei Rabbi, let's see, Rashi says, Nami Yurahu. Davening immediately behind your Rebbe also, it's also a certain sense of arrogance to daven like that. The same thing is true. He says, Vanosin shalom l'rabo, says Rashi, Kishar kol adom, shalom alecha, v'lo amar lo, shalom alecha rabbi. So there's ways that you greet your friend, and there are ways that you greet your Rebbe. So a person greets the Rebbe, hey, what's up Rebbe, how are you? I'm glad you have such a good relationship with your Rebbe, but it's not the appropriate way for a person to greet the Rebbe. There's a more dignified, refined way for a person to greet the Rebbe. V'hamachzir shalom l'rabo, again, a person who returns shalom to the rabbo, it's the same idea. There's a certain way that you return a greeting to your Rebbe. V'acholik al yeshivaso. Different understandings of what this means. But the simple understanding is he takes issue with his position. Shel rabbo. V'omer davo shelo shama mipi rabbo. He says something that he did not hear from his Rebbe. Then all these things are acts of disrespect. Gorom l'shchina shetestalik mi Yisrael. It causes the Shechina to ultimately hide itself from Klal Yisrael. But the point over here is that it says not to daven immediately behind your Rebbe. Because again, that shows a certain sense of arrogance. So how is it that Rabbi Yirmiyahu was able to do that behind Rav? The Gemara says, Shani Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, the Talmud Chavar Havi. Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba was allowed to do that. You know why? Because he was a Talmud Chavar. What does a Talmud Chavar mean? It does not mean that he had a certificate from Smichas Chavar, but that's really where it comes from. The idea is, Talmud Chavar is a person who is such a learned Talmud that he's already on the status of an equal. He's a chaver, he's a friend, he's one of his colleagues, he's one of his rabbinic colleagues. Under those circumstances, he was an equal with Rav, therefore he was allowed to daven in such close proximity to him. Gemara says, V'hanad t'kamarle Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba l'Rav, that's why Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba said the following to Rav. Mi badalta. In the previous story, when Rav took in Shabbos early, he said to him, Rav, mi badalta? Did you stop doing malacha? Badal means to separate yourself. Did you stop yourself from doing malacha? In other words, he asked him, I saw that you daven ma'ariv already. Very nice, you daven ma'ariv. But have you accepted Shabbos? Did you stop doing malacha? Amar lai in badilna, yes, I stopped doing malacha. Now the Gemara says, v'lo amar mi badil mar. Mi badil mar is talking more in like a third person. Has the Rebbe stopped doing malacha? It's much more appropriate than saying, did you stop doing malacha? And that's why, that's one of the sources we have, that when a person talks to someone chashev, you say, has Rebbe done? Has the Rav done this? Has the Rosh Kollel done this? Has the Rosh Hashiva done this? There's a way to speak, even though it sounds strange when you think about it, but it's a sign of respect not to speak to a chashev, a person, as if you're talking to a friend. So he responded, and he said, yes, I stopped doing malacha. So you see clearly, Rabbi Yirmiyahu spoke to him as a colleague instead of speaking to him as a Rebbe. That's why Rabbi Yirmiyahu was not so worried about the way that he spoke about the place that he davened within close proximity to Rav. The Gemara says, hold on a second. Is that really true that he stopped doing malacha? Umi badil? Is that really true that Rav stopped doing malacha? V'ha'amar Rabbi Oven told us, Pam achas hispal Rabbi shel Shabbos be'erev Shabbos. There was a story where Rabbi davened Ma'ariv on Friday afternoon. V'nichnas l'merchatz. After he finished davening Ma'ariv, he went into the bathhouse. V'yatza, came out of the bathhouse. V'shana lon pirkin, and he taught us a halacha. V'atayin lo chashecha. It still wasn't dark. So he brought in Shabbos very early. He went to take a bath, came out, gave a shir, and he walked home. The sun was still shining. Amarava hahuda nichnas lahazia. When he went into the bathhouse, he did not go in to take a bath. He went in just for a little bit of a schwitz. He needed to get some steam. He wanted to sweat it out a little bit. The kodim gezeira havi. This was before the decree where Chazal told us to stop doing that. What was that decree? The Gemara in Maseches Shabbos, I don't remember exactly which daf, I think it's like daf mem, somewhere around there, describes that there was that technically there should be nothing wrong with a person going into a warm bath on Shabbos, as long as the water was heated up before Shabbos. The only problem is that the water is going to be heated on Shabbos, so if you warm it up before Shabbos, the water could stay hot for a decent amount of time. Go take a bath. What's the problem? The problem was the balanim, those who worked in the bathhouse, wanted to make money. And therefore, they were actually heating up the water on Shabbos. So this decree went in stages. First, they allowed them to do certain things, but eventually, when things got out of hand, the people started saying, "No, I'm just going in for a little schwitz." They'd come out, their hair was wet, the shampoo was smelling nice and fresh, everything looked clean, and they were just going in. They would just say, "Yeah, I'm going in for a little bit of a schwitz." But there was a lot of people whose behavior was not in line. So Chazal said, "You know what? Take a shower before Shabbos, take a shower after Shabbos, but not on Shabbos at all. You can't even go into a bathhouse just to sweat because people were misbehaving." So it says that he would go in, Rebbe would go into the Merachatz. That was before the Gezer, which said, you can't go into the Merachatz to take a Shvitz. He was going in to take a Shvitz. And when was that? That wasn't Erev Shabbos. In other words, the fact that he went to a bathhouse did not indicate that he was not yet Mekabel Shabbos. Okay, the Gemara says, Eini, Vabaya Sharalei, Rav Dimi Bar Levoy Lechabure Sali. I don't know exactly what this was, but it was basically they would take these baskets and they would smoke them in some type of sulfur. Yeah. I don't know what the point in that. I don't.
It says fumes of burning sulfur were sometimes used for coloring or tempering objects.
Okay, so it soveya is a problem on Shabbos, one of the malachos. So he allowed them to do this process of smoking the baskets in sulfur smoke. The Gemara says, no, you know why he allowed him to do that? Because ahuta usa havai. That was because there was a mistake. That, in other words, they thought that it was Shabbos. It was a cloudy day. They thought it was Shabbos. They brought in Shabbos. And then they said, hold on a second. The clouds dispersed. And everything is, it's still Friday afternoon. They didn't have a clock in those days. They decided based on what it looked like. The Gemara says, okay, fine. So it was a mistake. But what to usa mihadra? Can you reverse a mistake? A person was Mekabel Shabbos by mistake. So he was Mekabel Shabbos. Who cares if it was a mistake or intentionally? And the Gemara backs us up by saying, Va'amar Avidan. Avidan told us, Pam achas niskashu shemayim ba'avim. One day, it was very cloudy. Kasvuri na'am lomar chashechahu. People thought it was dark. V'nichtnesu lebeis ha'knesses. V'spal shemoytzoi Shabbos b'Shabbos. They were middle shalashuddis. It got very dark. Like, you know what? It's time for Ma'ariv. They went to Daven Ma'ariv, and now after they finished Daven Ma'ariv, they're about to go home. Vinis Bazru Avim. The clouds dispersed, the sun came out, the Chazra Achama, Ubao Vashalos Rebbe. He went to ask Rebbe, what should we do? For Omar, he said, Hoyal Vispalo, Hispalalu. You davened, no need to daven again. So you see clearly that if people davened early based off a mistake, we don't make them repeat it again. So the same thing should seemingly be true, that if a person was Mekabel Shabbos early, he was Mekabel Shabbos. The Gemara says, Shani Tzibur D'lo Matrichin Elohu. That's different, because it was an entire Tzibur that already Daven Ma'ariv. You can't ask a whole shul to come back and Daven Ma'ariv again. In this case, it was a few people who made a mistake. Now, why is this so important? I think this might be one of the sources for why people are Mekel to Daven earlier on Friday. Why? Because when it comes to a tzibur, even though this is describing a mistake that happened, but when a tzibur is together, to be matriach them, we allow them to daven earlier, even though it was not at the right time. Again, like we mentioned yesterday, the best thing to do on Friday, the best thing to do is always to find a time that puts you in either mincha before plag, ma'ariv after plag, or mincha before shkia, ma'ariv after shkia. But again, as was discussed, and someone came to continue the discussion with me this morning, sometimes it's just not practical when it comes to a kehillah to do that. For the most part, it works. You know, starting this week, you start davening at 7 o'clock. It's a very perfect time, because if mincha is going to be at 7 o'clock, it's before shkia. You have Kabbalah Shabbos, and then ma'ariv, so ma'ariv will be even after tzeis, which is perfectly fine. As it starts to get later, it gets very difficult, because plag is sometimes going to be too early. Shkia gets very late. People don't want to come home from shul at 10 o'clock at night in the summer. So that's why we do 7 o'clock throughout the whole summer. But again, is that the most ideal? No, but sometimes the most ideal thing to do with a kehillah is to make it work for everybody. Have a wonderful evening. Tomorrow night, Chaim is going to be